Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This point in the year, and it's big regular season games, and that's what the Giants got. What an important home stretch with the Dodgers in town for three, followed by the Astros. First is for standings. After that, it's for style points to talk about all of it. A man who always brings plenty of style points to baseball conversations, MLB Network's Brian Kenny joining us on 95.7 The Game, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Thank you, Brian, as always, for your time. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you guys.
It's great to have you with us. And man, as we look around the landscape, nobody expected, if baseball's a poker game, nobody expected the San Francisco Giants to be sitting in the at the final table of the National League, but it looks like they are going to be there. And so whatever the plan was, the situation has changed. What do you think Farhan covets the most right now, Brian? A bat, a starter, or a closer?
You know, I don't know what Farhan is thinking. Whatever he's thinking, I'm good with it. I know the last couple of days on the show when we've talked about impact players, I don't think anybody would impact the team more than Max Scherzer. And that hasn't been a weak point for the Giants. They've got very good starting pitching. But Scherzer is one of the few guys that comes in like Verlander did a few years ago for the Astros, where he's your number one playoff starter. He is a guy who, like, every fifth day is, you know, pretty much sure to give you six, seven, eight innings, giving up one or two runs. One of the few guys that really, you know, puts a dent in things.
Right. Win day.
Changes things. Kimbrel, the same sort of thing. Craig Kimbrel is also, really locked in this year, and he's a big guy at the end of a game. But I would think Scherzer is kind of the number one prize. You can add him to any rotation.
Okay, then, given the teams that have been mentioned as likeliest to go after him, who can pile up the most assets and win a bidding war?
Yeah, probably the Dodgers, I would think. And now, I don't know if teams get into bidding wars for rentals at this point. Now, maybe, Ray, it is true for Scherzer. I know from what I've heard and, working with John Heyman every day, that, starting position players aren't gathering, a big, harvest of late. So maybe Scherzer is that sort of guy. But I would think the Dodgers are the sort of organization that can lump together, like, major league ready guys, if it's Gavin Lux and that type of player, as well as guys who are down lower if you're looking to, if Mike Rizzo is looking to get more guys at, like, the high A, double A level.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, just from the Giants' perspective, how much extra do you think they ought to be willing to put into their offer if the alternative is the Dodgers end up with Scherzer?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you always ride that line. And no matter who you are, whether you're the Giants and you're on top, or you're, say, the Angels and you're just hoping for, like, a second wild card, you always have to wonder, like, how much am I giving now that's going to hurt me 2 years down the road? So maybe this year, I know it's hard to say when you're in first place and you've continually been holding off the Dodgers and the Padres, but it is kind of house money this year. Like, this wasn't expected. It is kind of a bonus year. You are getting great years from your veterans, so maybe you look at it that way, that this is a year to cash in on a year that, Posey and Crawford, Longoria, when he comes back, are still – doing things for you. So I don't know. It's just that you never try to give away too much. I've always thought, like, in terms of free agents or trading, trade deadline players, I always thought finishing second was a good thing. You know how they always like rip GM saying, oh, he finishes second a lot. I like a GM who finishes second a lot. There's a reason you finish second.
Okay, let's say, as a hypothetical, the Dodgers win whatever bidding war does assemble for Scherzer. What are the next five guys that would be really useful for a team in the Giants situation that, even if they don't win the division, they look pretty likely to be in the postseason?
Well, it's a myriad of probably mix and match relief pitchers. You've seen a few start to go already. Chafin from the Cubs. Again, Kimbrel is at the top of that food chain, but there's always available smaller players to get after. I would think it's mostly in the bullpen. You know, like where would you put Chris Bryant exactly? There's room for Bryant clearly in an outfield position or third base. There's always, you know, a spot for him somewhere. I think Bryant would be that impact guy. I don't think there's really room. Is there room for Javi Baez? Not really. And you'd be giving up something to get a player like that. So, you know, those guys are useful. You know, with the way I look at things, I'm always looking at doing things on the cheap. So I'd rather have Isaiah Kiner-Falefa of the Rangers. You know, that's like kind of a Giants type of player. Good fielder, good base runner, not a big bat, but better than a useful guy. A guy who, if he hits at all, is, you know, actually close to being a star. But I know Bryant is much more of a name, and I think his OPS plus is about 131 right about now. So he's been a very good bat this year.
Brian Kenny here with us on 95.7 The Game. Since you brought up Javier Baez, I have to ask you about that walk-off home run last night. How far away do you think we are from seeing a player actually ride his bat around the bases like it's a pony?
There is, like, I forgot who it was. There was one player that I think hit a home run off Babe Ruth or something that backed around the bases, you know, ran the bases backwards and did a cartwheel. Those things have happened. Of course, there were big fist fights at the end of the game. He knows. He can tell you about it. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I would expect, given that Amir Garrett was suspended five games for what he did, which was, you know, basically his unsportsmanlike conduct, which then instigated Baez, and then it became more heated, and he walked toward Baez, but only when Baez hopped the fence and came toward him. I would think there has to be some sort of suspension for Baez. Like if you're really on, you know, down on taunting, and you're saying no, taunting leads to violence. Well, he's got to get a game, even if it's one game and it's just kind of ceremonial. You got to give him one game. If you gave Amir Garrett, five, you got to give Baez at least one.
Yeah, when I think of on-field actions that could lead to violence, if you look it up in the dictionary, you see Javi Baez's walk-off from last night. There is no doubt about it. Brian, let's talk about the trades that feel kind of big that already have happened. Nelson Cruz to the Twins, or I'm sorry, from the Twins to Tampa Bay. That feels big. And Adam Frazier showing up in San Diego was kind of unexpected, and that feels big.
Yeah, I don't. What did you guys think of the Frazier deal? I was thinking, oh, Frazier to the Padres. I go, wait a second, the Padres? Like, they've got that bat already. They've got a lefty contact hitting bat already, and he's 2 years younger in Cronenworth. I was surprised by that. He's a useful player, but he's kind of a duplicate of what they already have.
Well, my theory, since you asked, is that he's not really there to affect Cronenworth as much as he is to try to give them something else in the outfield that they don't seem to be getting from the guys they've got now. And even though Adam Frazier is probably best at second base, they could still put him in the outfield, or they could put Cronenworth out there from that time to time. He seemed to be more of a multi-flex guy. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, yes and no. Now, I know what they like to do. And even though their bench, like if you watch their games, I end up watching a lot of Padres games, and even like Kim and Profar aren't hitting, but they're very useful guys. So I don't look at them like they're dead weight, and they field their position, and they can field multiple positions. So it's kind of like the guys the Giants have. This is why teams win. So I have an idea of what Preller is thinking, that Frazier is useful. He's plus defense. He's plus five defensive runs saved at second base. He's a decent base runner. He's an excellent contact hitter. He's the number one contact hitter in the National League. Jake Cronenworth is third. They like putting Cronenworth at first base, and they like his glove at first, and that gives them an elite fielding infield. Frazier at second, and then Cronenworth at first. Again, Frazier can play the outfield, but I tell you what, Sam has been dynamite after a bad start. He sets the table. He has an excellent process at the plate, great plate discipline. Grisham has been very good, and Will Myers is still a useful player, and I think he's about a 117 weighted runs created plus. He's above league average. He's good. He's not great, but he's good. So their outfield is kind of set. I think this sits down Eric Hosmer, which is an interesting move, given that Hosmer's got 5 years left on his deal, and he's making, I think, $18 million this year. You usually try not to alienate a guy that makes that kind of money that's under contract for five more years.
Getting back to the Giants specifically, if they decide Max Scherzer is either too old or too expensive for our taste, who's the next best starting pitcher? Is there, in fact, a starting pitcher who will be on the market that will make an impact on the Giants staff?
Oh, I don't know. Who are you even thinking of? I mean, throw some names.
Berrios, maybe?
Who?
Berrios is a guy we've talked about?
Yeah. The Berrios is good. Kyle Gibson is good for the Texas Rangers this year. He's not a big swing and miss guy. Berrios has a higher ceiling in the future. But I don't know. Those guys that you mix in, are you getting necessarily better? I don't know if you are. I look at it, and I guess Berrios really fills a spot. He's kind of a two or a three. But I don't see anybody making the dent. I mean, I get excited about Scherzer because Scherzer slots in for the Giants, even with Gausman's great year. He slots in number one. Game one starter. So I think that's an impact. And beyond that, I don't see giving up a ton to get a player that you're either renting or giving up more, depending on how much contract time a guy has left. Because you're not getting Berrios cheap.
Do you think the Rockies could come off of John Gray?
I guess so. But again, is he better than your top three starters now? And so what is he actually doing for you? I don't know. Again, maybe you're watching him every day and you're thinking, no, pitching depth will make a big difference because, by the way, the season's not over and they're only up by like three games. So you're going to need a stretch run as well. He would help depending on how much pitching depth you need.
Who do you think would be the Giants' third starter right now? It looks like Cueto is moving in the wrong direction at this point in the year. Wood has been impressive. We know that the first two bullets fired will be Gausman and DeSclafani. So who do you think is the third right now, and is John Gray better than that guy?
Yeah, I don't know. You're probably right.
Logan Webb, I don't think
it's Webb right
Logan
now.
Logan Webb starting a playoff game, I'm holding my breath.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know, like in this day and age, you can – you know, one, see how the guy is pitching down the stretch. I know, like, analytically, you're not supposed to believe in a hot starter, but there is something to the way a guy has been throwing recently. And you can see what the break is, what the action that the player has on the ball, if he's getting, you know, hit lucky or unlucky, what type of action he has, how many innings he's probably going to be able to give you. So you really have to make that decision, especially a third starter. You kind of make that decision in the final week of the season leading up to the playoffs. Yeah, you just don't know what a guy is going to be specifically looking at. And again, in this day and age, you can specifically track the guy's velocity, break on the ball, his overall stuff, how crisp his action is on the ball, besides obviously his results. I'm not discounting all the other things like, you know, being tough with guys on base and being mentally tough, executing your pitches and not giving up runs. I'm saying that's paramount. But then beyond that, you can say, all right, he's not giving up runs, but is he getting lucky on these sorts of run prevention games, or is his stuff really good that he deserves to be giving up one run or two runs per start?
What are the A's looking for, and how aggressively are they looking for it?
I don't. I mean, are they? I mean, they fill at the margins. I don't see them. They fill at the margins. They get more bullpen guys. It's what they've done from the start. They're constantly they're buying on the cheap. So I see them kind of filling out from the bottom. They already made that, the one move with Chafin. I would see them doing more of that. I can't see them doing something bold and aggressive. It's just been a while since they've been able to do that.
Do you hold your breath for any stadium resolution?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, I'm going to follow that. I couldn't even speak intelligently to that. I don't know.
I don't think they could either, so we're all fair there.
I don't know.
Brian Kenny, of course, one of the best from MLB Network. You're the rare guest where we can pivot to a halfway decent boxing conversation. And I just have to ask, because, you're an old-school boxing guy, Are Logan and Jake Paul good for the sport of boxing in the attention economy that we're living in?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. And here's why. Because, like, you can say, hey, it's junk sport. It's, you know, it's not the true sport. It's not the top guys. Well, my answer to that is, like, if those guys didn't exist, then every promoter and TV executive and manager and boxer could say, hey, look, I'm not fighting these big fights. You can't get a million pay-per-view buys anymore. We're not looking at those days. The cable era is transforming into a new era. The audience has kind of splintered off. It's bifurcated. And you could say, hey, look, it's not that era. You're just not going to get that type of money, so why should I fight the top guys? And now you can point to them. You can point to the YouTube guys. You can point to Mike Tyson. You can point to Roy Jones. Probably soon you can point to Oscar De La Hoya and say, those guys are getting a million buys. How come you're not? So, look, I'm going to be calling Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao on pay-per-view, Fox pay-per-view, August 21st. So, like, that's excellent. But Pacquiao is 42. And, you know, Bud Crawford is out there as the number two welterweight. He has one of the belts. Spence has two of them or three of them. Spence is considered the welterweight champion, but Crawford is there. The top guys have to fight. I'm all supposed to be calling, you know, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. That was pushed back till October. But, you know, those guys are out there. Anthony Joshua is out there, and they're not fighting. Like, they're sort of fighting here and there. Again, Spence Pacquiao is excellent. That's worth a big pay-per-view buy. But other than that, like, the reason the top, and look, Spence is, you know, top of the food chain right now. This guy's a great fighter. Anthony Joshua is a great fighter. Tyson Fury is a great fighter when he's in shape and engaged. Wilder has all-time power. These guys should be totally, you know, have the audience at their feet. Like, they should be doing a million buys on pay-per-view every single time out. But they're not fighting on a regular basis. So who gets a million pay-per-view buys? The YouTube guys. Those guys. So I say they deserve it. They're captivating the fans' imagination, and the top-trained, world-class world champions just are not doing that.
Is Canelo Alvarez your pound-for-pound champ right now?
Oh, yeah, he's number one. Yeah, the combination of resume and skill and everything. No, look, and Canelo has been fighting most of the top guys. He hasn't fought Triple G the third time. I think I'd still like to see him fight Golovkin a third time. But if he does fight Caleb Plant in September, which, you know, there's negotiations. You hear different things. It's going well. It's not going well. They say that it just broke off now. But if he fights Caleb Plant and he beats Caleb Plant, well, he just moved up to 168 pounds and has taken all four belts. So that's significant. So all that I just said, hey, this isn't compelling. You can't say that about Canelo. He moved up in weight and he fought every top guy, cleaned out the division, if he fights Caleb Plant and beats him.
What should the Warriors do at 7 on Thursday? Brian, thank you so much. We love talking sports with you, man. You're the best.
All right. Thank you, fellas. Take care.
Thank you very much. Brian Kenny, MLB Network. He probably had an answer. Probably was ready to go. But we just...
the answer would have been Canelo.
Canelo Alvarez.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.